We're starting from Nun Aleph Amabet, at the bottom, about eight lines from the bottom. Amar of Yehuda, Hane Nashe Deganvu Ganve. Okay, we're getting into, again, this whole concept of if a woman is taken captive. So here, what if robbers attack her? Sharyan Leguvrayu, they're mutar to their husbands. Shari always means mutar, so Sharyan means they are mutar to their husbands. Amale, so the assumption is that these Ganavim are not necessarily sleeping with them. Amar le Rabbanan le Rabbi Yehuda, v'haka mamtian lehu nahama. Okay, now this is again, what were we in the middle of? This whole concept of maybe they started off nivala be'ones, and in the end it was biratzon. So they're concerned if these ganavim are taking them. Sorry, the concept is they are raping them, but the women are not equal partners. But now they're saying, but wait a minute, don't we see that mamtian lehu nahama? Don't you see that they're serving them bread and they're, you know, having a relationship with them? So they say, Mahmat Yira. They're only doing it because they're scared of these guys. It's not like they're doing it because they're willing partners. Again, you see this whole concept of the outside onlooker, you know, what he understands from this situation. And that's what they're trying to figure out. The Hakamashachan Luhugere, they're throwing their arrows for them. Know exactly what that means. What
it says handing them to them.
Right. So it could be they're handing them right there, they're helpers. So again, what do they say? Mahmat Yira. Okay? It must be they're doing it. Mahmat Yira. But now they say, Vadai Shavkinu Va'azla Minafshayu Asiran. But if you see that they let them leave and they go back to them on their own free will, in other words, basically the robbers free them, and then they come back and live with them, well then obviously Asiran. Okay, again, very strange concepts here to think about what they're really talking about and what was really going on. Tana Rabbanan, Shvuye Malchut Harehen Kishvuyin, Gnuvei Listut Einan Kishvuyin. Okay, now we're going to have a difference between the Shvuyim and the Ganavim. Okay, if a Ganav steals you, then they're not like Shvuyim, but if the Malchut steals you, they're like Shvuyim. So now the Gemara says, V'hatan Ye'epcha, but don't we learn the opposite? So then they answer, right, because we just said before that Gnulei Listut are like Shvuyim, right? And they're considered that they were raped. So why did you say otherwise? So now they say, right, now what's the difference between here? So they say, Machuta Machut Lokasha, Haba Machuta Chashverosh, Haba Machut Ben Netzer. It depends what kind of Malchut you're talking about. If the Malchut is like a real big kingdom, okay, then the woman who's raped by the king doesn't think she ever has any chance to be married to the king. Okay, this is like Machut HaChashverosh. Now, obviously, you're all thinking, wait a minute. Esther, Dafka did have a chance, right? But even so, that's the way the Gemara is explained. Some of them ask questions on it. Anyway, it's a better question than the answers. But they're saying, I mean, there's a big kingdom and you have no chance of becoming the Malkah, well, then obviously you're not going to be Nivala Beratzon. But if you have a chance, like Ben Netzer, who they say was this, we'll see in a minute, he was kind of like a robber leader. Okay, he was sort of a king, but also like a robber type king, okay, where he stole things and that gave him power. So he's the kind of guy that isn't so powerful. The Gemara also really doesn't like him. And women who were raped by him might have thought, well, I have the chance to become this powerful guy's wife, so maybe I'll do a biratzon. So when it's Malchut Ben Netzer, then you have to worry. When it's Malchut HaChashverosh, you don't have to worry that they're doing a biratzon. Then they say, listud alistud lo kashya, and the listim isn't a kashya, why? Have a ben netzer, have a listim to Alma. When it comes to a listim ba'alma, so she's got no interest in marrying him. But when it comes to a ben netzer, who's a listim who's got power and is almost like a king, so then you'll wanna sleep with him, maybe willingly, in order to get some, you know, get yourself up to a better position. Uben netzer, now we're gonna answer, wait a minute, hatam kari le melech, v'hach kari le listim, is he a listim or was he a king? So they say, in, gabe achashverosh, listim hu, gabe listim da'ama, melech hu. Okay, it depends who you compare him to. When you compare him to all the other robbers, he was like a king. But when you compare him to other kings, he was like a robber. Okay, interesting. So yeah, anyway, what they're trying to show is that it depends on the situation, and you can assess the situation depending on what's going on to try to figure out what you think, whether this woman was a willing partner or wasn't a willing partner. And again, it goes according to if she's a willing partner, well then she would be forbidden to her husband. Okay, moving off of this for right now. We're still within the general topic, but now we're going back to the Mishnah. Ubikohenet ahadrinach limedinatech. Remember, a part of the stipulation of the ketubah is that he says, in the event that you get captured, I will take you back, I will redeem you, And which we'll talk today about what, you know, at what price, does any price, okay, we'll get into that. Pidyon Shvuyim in general, but we're not there yet. And then, you will be my wife. Now, obviously, if it's a Kohen, she can't be his wife. So if it's if she's married to a Kohen, the Ketubah stipulates, if you get taken captive, I will redeem you, and I will bring you back to the city. Obviously, I can't stay married to you, but I am going to redeem you in order to bring you back to the city. Now, this Lashon implies that what? That because he can't marry her, right? So he can't take her back to be his wife, but he is still Chayav in Pidyon. So now we're going to ask, what if there's another situation where he can't marry her? Are we also going to say that he's chayav in pidyon? Like, for example, Amar Abaye, almana lekohen gadol. What if it's a forbidden marriage? Okay, whoever came who doesn't have sheets, you guys should take. What if it was forbidden for them to be married? Like, almana can't marry kohen gadol, right? Or grusha to a kohen hedyod, or any of these situations, right? Someone can't marry someone else. So now, is he chayav to redeem her? It's a great question, right? Because on the one hand, he's not allowed to be married to her, right? On the other hand, if he's a Kohen, what does he stipulate? I'm not being podei you in order to keep you as my wife, because keeping him as a wife, he's not allowed to. He can't keep her as his wife. But, right, in other words, forget about that he's a Kohen in terms of that she was raped. He can't marry her at all. So he happened to have married her be'isser. But now, what is he, right, if the ketubah stipulated, I will redeem you and you will be my wife, right, well then obviously he can't, because she can't be his wife. But if he says what the Kohen generally says, the stipulation for a Kohen is, I will redeem you so that I can bring you back to the city, and not that I'm going to stay married to you. So now, Abai says, Amana l'Kohen gadol chayav liftota, sha'ani kore ba, because it still works to say, ubi kohenet ahadrinach l'medinatech. Right? It works. Because he's only bringing her back to the city. He's not bringing her back to be his wife, which is Esther. But what's the flip case? Maybe if it's not 100% clear, you'll get it now. Mamzeret unetina li Yisrael, who have a regular ketubah that says, right, if you get taken captive, I will redeem you and you will continue to be my wife. Eino chayav liftotah, she'ein ani koreba ve'otvinach li le'intu. Right? He can't say, and I'll bring you back to be my wife. Because he can't say that, because she can't be his wife. Okay, so you follow? So there's a distinction between a Kohen in a forbidden marriage and a regular person in a forbidden marriage. A regular person in a forbidden marriage is not chayav to redeem his wife, and a Kohen in a forbidden marriage would be chayav to redeem his wife. That is Abaya's opinion.
Does this overlap with the general mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim? We're all obligated.
Right, so there is a general. How does this fit in? But okay, so when it comes to shvuyim, you use community money, first of all. Generally, it's community money. It's not an individual doesn't have to put up the money for it. Okay, it's a responsibility, a communal responsibility, from what I remember. It comes up in Gittin. We'll see it there. But yeah, I mean, no individual has to put up all the money for this kind of thing, except for in this case. If it's your wife, you have an individual responsibility. You committed to her, I will take care of you. I will take care of you means if you get taken captive. We're going to see. What if it's more than once? What if it's, okay, we're going to get into that later. Okay.
So according to all these things, then the kedushin is tofsin.
So is the kedushin tofsin or not? So there is, the ketubah is tofis.
Right, but that's...
Right, because the marriage is tokes, right? You have to, right, it's a good question, is it? Right, well, anyway, these are all Yisurei Lav, which we said, according to most opinions, Yisurei Lav, Kedushin, or Tokesim. Okay. So that is the majority opinion. Okay, so now, Rava Amar, Kol she Yisur Shivya Gorem La, Chayav Liftota. If she becomes forbidden to him because of the Shovi, right, like the regular Kohen married to a regular woman, right? If it's the Shevi that causes the problem, then he's Chayav Liftota, okay? A regular Esha Kohen. But Isur Davar Acher Gorem La, but if it's a forbidden marriage to begin with, okay, there's something else, something external that's forbidding. Not the fact that she was taken captive and now raped, but just the mere nature of who she is and who he is makes it forbidden for them to be married. Eino chayav liftota. Rava says he doesn't have chiyuv pidyon in this case, okay? Which might say that the kiddushin are in tovsim, or we don't view this as kiddushin, or right, or whatever it might be. That's not part of, right? When you marry someone who's forbidden, there's no chiyuv of pidyon. Right. It does make more sense. And we always hold like Rava. So, you know. Okay. Now they want to say, they want to suggest that this machloket is based on a machloket tana'im. Lema kitchenai. Now we're going to learn about if somebody makes a neder and says, I am forbidden to get any hana'ah from my wife. We've seen this before, actually. It came up in Megillah, in one of the Ein Bains. Ein Bain, Mudar Hana'ah Mechavero, or, oh no, that's Mudar Hana'ah Mechavero, maybe not Ishto. Anyway, right, I think it's mentioned there with his wife, I don't remember now. But anyway, we've seen this before. If someone says, I'm forbidden to get hana'ah, he has to divorce her, because they can't stay married. Okay, they're not allowed to stay married if either he or she says, right, I am not going to get any hana'ah from you. You can't possibly be married without getting hana'ah. That's not a real marriage. Okay, so now, what if he's madir hana'ah me'ishto, v'nishbeit, and then she gets taken captive, right? Now, what's going to happen again? It's the same situation. They're going to say this is the exact same thing. Okay, I wrote it on the sheet. It's like Isur Davar Achir. It's not the fact that she was taken b'shevi that forbids him to remain married to her, right? Imagine he's a Yisrael, right? So in his ketubah it says, I will redeem you, right? And you will be my wife. Now, at this point, she's not allowed to go back to be his wife, not because of the shevi, but because of something else, because of this neder he made. Okay, the neder is what's forbidding him. That's called davar acher, right? It's not the shevi itself. In which case, what would you say? According to what we just learned with Rav and Abai would have a machloket. Abai would say he's chayav anyway because part of the ketubah he has to redeem her. And Rav would say no, he's not chayav because something else is causing them not to be able to be married. So let's see this machloket. We're going to see the exact machloket here. Okay, whether you're podeh or ain't a podeh. So the first understanding is going to be it's the exact same thing as Rav and Abai. Lema kitanai. Let's say it's a machloket tanaim. Hamadir tishcho v'nishbeit. Rabbi Lezer omer podeh v'noten la ketubata. He's podeh her, and then he gives her the ketubah money because he has to divorce her, right? Rabbi Yoshua omer noten la ketubata ve'eno podeh. He has to give her the ketubah because they have to get divorced, but she could take the ketubah money and redeem herself with it. In other words, he doesn't have to redeem her because they're not allowed to be married. The whole stipulation of the ketubah was, I will redeem you so that we can be married. And since they're not allowed to be married, then it doesn't work. Amar Rabbi Natan, sha'alti et sumchus. So now, about this machloket, I asked sumchus, he's going to ask about Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that you're not, that he doesn't have to be podeh. Kisha amar Rabbi Yeshua, noten lak tubata ve'eno podeh, kishi hidira ulevasof nishbet, o b'nishbet ulevasof hidira. Does it have to be that first he was mudar hana'ah, and then madir hana'ah, and then she went and was taken captive? Or could it be that she gets taken captive, and then he forbids her to him? Now, what's the issue? Vamar li lo shamati. I didn't hear. I never learned what he really meant. But nir'im dvarim, what would you think, right? Shehidira ulevasof nishbet. It must be that first he took the neder, then she got taken captive. Why? Di'i amart, if you say the opposite, nishbet ulevasof hidira, ati le'arume. If you say that Rava says he doesn't have to be podeh her in the case where first she was taken captive, right? And then he was madir hana'ah. Well, then any guy who wants to get out of paying, what would he do? After she gets taken captive, he'll be madir hana'ah. And then he won't have to return her, right? He won't have to redeem her. So then he could be basically come up with some tricky, right? Trick the system. And therefore, it can't be that. Okay? So that's what they assume. Okay, that's just the last line, which sort of doesn't have to do with this, although we're going to bring it back up again. It has to do with it, but not so much our issue. What's the basic point here? Okay, you can see on the chart, the Rabbi Lezer says podeh, Rabbi Yeshua says eno podeh, right? And it's in the case where first he was modir hana'ah and then she was nishbeit. Okay, and that matches Abaye and Rava. Okay, so I line them up right one underneath the other. So Abaye matches Rabbi Lezer, Rava matches Rabbi Yeshua. Very easy. So again, what's the concept? If it's something else that's preventing them from being able to stay married, then there's a machloket between them. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to say, you're going to see there's going to be a few different havanot of this Mishnah, okay? So, of this Braita, sorry. My la b'madir eshet kohen kamiflegei. Okay, this is just explaining. Is it not that, so now what could be the case where it's an eshet kohen? Okay, and they're arguing over that case. V'abai de'amar k'Rabbi Lezer, v'rava amar de'amar k'Rabbi Yoshua. And couldn't that be the case? So now they say, lo, hacha b'mayas kinam, what's the case? Kigon shenadra ihi v'kiyem lahu. Maybe the machloket is where she took the neder, not him. She took the neder and said, I will not get any hana'ah from my husband. And he, what did he do? He accepted it, right? Remember, the husband can cancel out her nedarim, or he can accept them, right? So now, if he accepts her neder, what's the machloket? Who's responsible? Because both of them are really responsible for making this neder. Now, what's the issue? If she's madir hana'ah from her husband, she doesn't get a ketubah, okay? Because she caused the marriage to end. The ketubah, right? The ketubah is only if he breaks his part of the deal or he divorces her. But if she initiates, not, right? And he doesn't want it, then he doesn't have to pay her the ketubah money. So now, how does this affect pidyon? It'll be the same thing. If she caused the problem that he can't remarry her, well then, he says, it's not my fault, okay? But what's the problem? He could have canceled it. So the fact that he was a partner to this thing, maybe he's responsible. So that's what we're going to see now. Okay. Okay. Rabbi Lezer Savar, who noten etzba ben shineha? Okay. He's the one who put his finger in her mouth. In other words, right? What happens if you put a finger in somebody's mouth? They're going to bite it. Okay. He's the one who stuck his finger in her mouth, right? He basically accepted it, and therefore it's his fault, right? He has to assume responsibility, and therefore he has to be poden. For Rabbi Yoshua Sevar, he natna etzba ben shina. She bit her own fingers. Okay, right? She caused her own problems. Okay? So now they say, wait, now we're going to have two problems. According to Rabbi Yoshua, what comes out here? That she took the neder, and therefore it's her loss. But then there's going to be two things about this braita that don't make sense. Look back at the braita for a minute. What did he say? Notein la ketubata ve'eino podeh. He doesn't have to do pidyon, but he does give her the ketubah. So that's going to be question number one. Ihi natna etzba ben shineha. If she's the one responsible, ketubah maya vidata. Why should she get the ketubah? Okay? Vitu, and in additionally, Amar Rabbi Natan, what was Rabbi Natan worried about? Remember that he was tricking, right? He was making a tricky situation. Well, Shalti et Sumchot Kesha Amar Rabbi Yoshua Noten Laktubata Ve'eno Podeh Kishi Dira Ulo Basaf Nishbet O Bashi Nishbet Ulo Basaf Hidira Va'amar, I'm just quoting what we read already, Lo Shamati, right? I don't know. V'idinad, okay, etc. Meaning, what are we worried? That he's going to trick. Now, Idinadra Ihi it has no relevance. The whole relevance was the husband maybe was madir hana'ah to basically get him out of paying. But here she did it. So that whole line makes absolutely no sense according to this interpretation.
But if a ketubah is mandatory marriage, how can you annul a ketubah?
Like, you don't annul a ketubah. A ketubah is mandatory, but if she says, I don't want to be married to you and doesn't have a good reason for it, like, she just gets up one day and says, I will not get any hana'ah from this guy. Well, that's her fault. She doesn't get the ketubah money. The ketubah money is the husband saying, I will provide for you if I divorce you or if I die. But if she breaks her part of it, then she doesn't get what he committed.
But when does that vow become enforced? Because when they were married, the ketubah was enforced.
So when she, it's like breaking a contract. So if she breaks the contract, then she doesn't get her ketubah. We're going to see this when we get to, you'll see, when we get to the ayin. I think it's ayin bet, ayin hey. It's about kisoy rosh. Like if she walks out without kisoy rosh, eilu sheyotzot shelo b'ketubah. There's all sorts of situations we're going to get to where she gets divorced. He divorced her without her getting her ketubah money. If she breaks the contract, okay, so one of them is yotzala shukva rosh aparua. Okay, I didn't add up, but we're going to actually learn it together. Num bet, ayin bet, yeah.
What if she...
We're not going to... Well, are we going to learn it? Maybe we'll... Yeah, I think so we will learn it together.
If she initiates the divorce, but it's for a legitimate...
Let's leave all that stuff aside. We're going to get to all this, okay? But now, in this case, they're basically saying if she's mudar hana'ah, she doesn't get her ketubah money. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that that's what it was talking about. So basically, they reject this whole understanding. And then they say, Ela la'olam de'adra ihu. It has to be that he was the one who made the neder. You're checking if it's after Pesach.
It's too small for me to read.
Okay. Vabai mitaretz l'tame, v'rava mitaretz l'tame. Okay, now, like we did the past few days, right? We can explain it according to Rava, and we can explain it according to Abai. Okay, how does it work? Abai mitaretz l'tame. Abai explains his way like this. Amana l'kohen gadol. Right, we'll be back to learning. It'll be after Pesach. Okay. Okay.
Right?
Thankfully. Okay.
15th.
Right. For those listening online, we won't have shir for the next 2 weeks after tomorrow. Okay. So abaye mitaretz l'tame kacha almana lekohen gadol kule alma lo pligi dechayav liftota. Everybody agrees, according to Abaye's reading, right? Remember, almana lekohen gadol. What did he say? Pode, right? That's what Abaye will stick with what he said before. Mamzerin natin al Israel kule alma lo pligi de'eno chayav. Right. This is all just the first chart on the page that we did in the beginning. Liftota, right? He doesn't have to redeem her because it's a sore for him to marry her, right? And his ketubah stipulates, I will return you to be my wife. Madir eshet kohen, nami kulei alma lo pligi dechaya. If he's madir, the wife of a kohen, then also everyone agrees, dechayav liftota. Why? Dehainu amana la kohen gadol. It's the exact same case. If he's mudar hana'ah, he's a kohen. What does his ketubah say? I will redeem you to bring you back to the city, not to bring you to be my wife. So if he's madir hana'ah from her, according to Abaye's understanding, he could still redeem her and bring her back to the city. That's still part of, right? That's not doing anything wrong. Because he never promised her, I'm going to return you to be my wife. But, so therefore he's chayav. But ki pligi, when's the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua? B'madir eshet Yisrael. If he is a Yisrael, and he's madir hana'ah from his wife, so Rabbi Elazar azel batar me'ikara. Rabbi Yoshua azel batar basof. What does this mean? The Tanai has two parts. What does it say? If you get taken captive, I will redeem you. And then it says, and I will bring you to be my wife. So, Rabbi Elazar says the important part is the beginning part, right? If you get taken captive. Now, at the time he married her, right, it goes by the beginning of when you said the Tanai. At the time he committed to marry, at the time he got married and he committed to this, she was mutar to be married to him, as opposed to the Mamzerin and Netina case, for example, right? So she was permitted to be married. When the Kiyum HaTnai comes up, right? With Shah Kiyum HaTnai, he's not allowed to be married to her because he was Madir Hana'ah, right? In other words, there's the moment of marriage, right? Does it go by the moment of Nisuin? Or does it go by the moment of Pidyon? Now, in between this, he was Madir Hana'ah. So now, do you go by the time of Nisuin, where it was Mutar for him to marry her? Or do you go by the time of Pidyon, where it's Asur? And that's the machloka between them. So therefore, if you go by the time of Pidyon, then it's not going to be, he's not chayav to redeem her. That's the machloka. Now, Rav is going to explain very much the same thing. It's just he's going to explain it in a different case, because he thinks differently about than Abaye does about a particular case. So Rav mitaretz the tame. What does he say? Remember, that was his whole approach. If it's an ish, if it's a forbidden marriage, then there's no chiyuv pidyon. Ki plige b'madir. Then what's their machloket? When he was madir hana'ah, bein eshet kohen ubein eshet Israel. Whether she's an eshet kohen or whether she's an eshet Israel, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Elazar azel batar meikara, Rabbi Yeshua azel batar basof. Okay? Then they go to the same machloket, but it's whether she's an eshet kohen or whether she's an Eshet Yisrael. Just 1 second. Why? I forget why he makes a distinction. Right, because if you go by the beginning, so it doesn't matter if she's an Eshet Kohen or she's an Eshet Yisrael. No, but why does Rava... Yeah.
Whether you do it at the final or the latter, when it's an Eshet Kohen, it makes a difference.
Right. So because Rava holds, I'm trying to think why Rava Dafka. He says that if there's Isra Davar Acher on you, then you're not Podeh. So why would he hold? Right. Because the Almana Le Kohen would be no. But why still? I don't understand why there's a difference here. I was having trouble with this before, and I thought I had it. But 1 minute, Ish Yisrael Shat Nisuin Alpha Bishul Levasof. She can't. I see, because even so, he holds that the returning her to the city is not because of the Shivi, it's because of the Davar Acher, right? It has nothing to do with the Shevi. No. Right. No, it does. Pulonet Chayev Babakach, Eladavka im Isur Shvita Bava.
Because
she's in any case, in any case, she's not permitted to him. So,
but he's saying anyway that I'm going to bring you back to the city.
There are two Deborah Achers, I think. There's the first Deborah Acher, but she's a widow. So at the moment of Nisuin, he doesn't have to bring her back to the city. And then he doesn't have to bring her back to as his wife, because of the second Deborah Acher.
Because she was raped when she was a captive.
And so therefore...
But what's the first? She's not a widow.
The stipulation to return her to the city.
Yep. This isn't Kohen Gadol. This is just Kohen. A regular Eshet Kohen.
Kohen Gadol.
Ben Eshet Kohen, Ben Eshet Yisrael.
It says
Kohen
Gadol.
In the beginning, it says, Rava can explain the Amanam. No. Kohen Gadol for sure. No. Kule Alma, Kohen Gadol Alma, Namzer Lenatina. The Machloket is an Eshet Kohen and Eshet Yisrael. You follow? Abai says the Machloket's just in an Eshet Yisrael. And Rava will say the Machloket's in an Eshet Yisrael and an Eshet Kohen. And that's the part I'm struggling with.
In this case of the Yisrael's wife.
Why is that? Because... I don't know. Okay, you know what? I'm going to leave this aside. It's a question. We'll try to figure this out after. Okay, so fine. So that's the distinction in the end. But in the end, what do you see that they can all explain that the issue is, do you go by the Shah Nisuin, or do they go by the Shah Pidyon? In which case, this machloket has nothing to do with the machloket Abaye v'Rav. Okay? New part. Nishbeit chayav liptota. Tana Rabbanan. Nishbeit b'chaye ba'ala, v'achar kach meit ba'ala. This is good. What if he promises in the ketubah, right, but then he dies? So let's say she first gets taken captive, in which case there's a chiyuv pidyon, but then he dies before he fulfills it. Hikir ba ba'ala, if the husband knew she was taken captive, and therefore the chiyuv fell upon him, you can assume, right, the chiyuv doesn't fall upon him. This is an interesting theory. The chiyuv doesn't fall upon him unless he knows about it. I don't know why that is exactly. But therefore the yorshim chayavim liftota, the yorshim have to know. But lo hikir ba ba'ala, if he didn't know she was taken captive, Ein Yorshim Chayavim Liftota. They don't have to redeem her.
This goes back to Naomi's question about the general. You know, if he doesn't know or if he dies, somebody's still got to do it.
Somebody has to, right, but it's not the Yatomi. Then it falls on the community. Levi Savar Lemea Bar Uvda. He wanted to paskin based on this. Kihamat Nita. Amar Le Rav, Hachi Amar Chavivi. Le Tilchita Kihamat Nita. Rav said to him, but we don't hold like this. Ella ki haditanya. Ella, we hold like this. Nishbeit la'achar mitat ba'ala, ein hayitomim chayavim liftota. Okay? If she's taken captive after he dies, the yitomim are not responsible. That wasn't the case we discussed yet. That's a different case, right? That's if she's nishbeit after. But the lo'od ella afilu nishbeit b'chaye ba'ala, ba'achar kach meit ba'ala, even if it was in his life and then he dies, ein hayitomim chayavim liftota. Why? She'ein ani korei bavot v'inach le'intu. Because the second part of the Tanai is not fulfilled. I will bring you back to be my wife. Can't be fulfilled. Because of that, he doesn't have to do it.
So they're following the letter of the law, but they're being completely heartless.
You could say that.
No, it's a little bit of a question about the use of the estate. Given that somebody has to redeem her, it's not an issue of leaving her not redeemed. It's just a question of whether the entire redemption money comes out of his estate, out of the orphan's estate.
It's not just that. It's also what's the reason why he's chayav to redeem her so that she can continue her married life with him. He's no longer here. So if he's not here, well, then it goes back to what Naomi was saying. It's a communal responsibility. Everyone is equally responsible at this point to redeem her, not the sons. The sons will redeem her to what? To bring her back to be nobody's wife?
So, no. Yeah, we're talking only about the funds. We're not talking about the effort or the care.
Right, I guess so. Right, it's a good question. Who has to put in the work? Right, that's not mentioned here. Who's doing the right? We all know that that's not easy work to do the negotiations and.
So he dies. Doesn't the community?
So again, it doesn't discuss that, but I assume it's a communal responsibility. Right.
Really, what they're talking about is which funds get used for the ransom. That's all it is, because it's a question of whether it comes directly out of his estate or whether it's community right. funds.
And it's not just reading the letter of the law. It's saying, what's the point? Why is he committing to redeem her? He's committing to redeem her, to return her to be the wife. And if she's not returning to be the wife, well, then he has no more responsibility than anybody else, or the family, the estate.
We've seen case after case where the law is trying to teach people, like, you have to feed your children.
So again, remember, the law couldn't do that. In the end, the law couldn't do that. You know, right. The law is the law, and then there's what you should do. That's a different story. But the law is the law.
Once community property has redeemed her and she's back, they're now chayav mizonot or whatever from the estate the way they would have been if she'd been
involved
all along.
Yes, exactly. She gets her other zchuyot. It's just, yes, for sure. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Nishbet v'hayu mevakshim mimena ad asara b'dameha. What if they ask for 10 times the amount of her worth? Okay, what's her worth, right? That's like her value in the shuk. Okay, like if she was sold to be a slave or something, right? What you would hire someone for. Now, if they want 10 times her worth, pam rishona podeh, mikam va'elach, ratza podeh, ratza ino podeh. If they're asking 10 times the amount, you have to do it once, but after that, you don't have to do it again. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ein podinit ashvuyin yeter al kadeh demehen. Okay, this is the sugya we're going to see in Gittin. Okay, there's a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Gittin. We don't redeem them. Why? Mipnei tikkun olam. We never redeem captives for more than what they're worth because of tikkun olam, right? We all know this is the whole thing, right? Can you negotiate with terrorists or not? This is it, right? It's just going to create major problems in the future because of tikkun olam. Okay, now, what are we going to infer from here? Habichdei demem. Therefore, what do you assume? If it's the right amount, right? Their value, podin. Afagav de pirkona yoter alktubata. It sounds from here that what? That if it's the value, let's say she's worth 500 zoos. Okay? That's her value in the shuk. Now that's more than the worth of her ketubah. Again, depending on how much her nedunya is, but let's say it's more than the worth of her ketubah. If that's the case, it sounds like as long as it's her value, you have to pay it, even if it's more money than you set aside already for the ketubah to begin with. Remember, we talked about the fact once, and we didn't see this inside yet, but there's a Gemara that talks about, since it's a tnai baked in the ketubah, usually what's called, he would be at pisei tsrare. He would put aside money already in an account, and that would be sitting there as her ketubah money, because he knows at some future point he's going to need to pay it to her. So therefore, he would put it aside in an account. So now, let's say he goes to that account. He says, okay, I'll use the money from a ketubah. But it's more than what he committed, right? So now, what do we do? So it sounds like, from this Mishnah, but it sounds like, if it is bichdei demehen, then, even if it's more, he'd have to pay. Ureminhi, and that contradicts another braita. Nishbeit v'hayu mevakshim mimena ad asara b'ketubata. If they were asking up to 10 times the amount, pam rishona podeh, mikam v'elech ratza podeh, ratza ino podeh. And now we're going to have a problem with Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in this braita. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, im haya perkona kenegi ketubata podeh, v'im lav eino podeh. So now what do they answer? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel trei kula itle. He has two kulot. In other words, these are two different issues he's talking about. One is, if the ketubah is worth more than, right, less than the amount. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you don't have to pay the full amount. You don't have to be podeh her at all because you won't be able to. Your money won't cover it, so therefore you don't have to. On the other hand, right, he also says, he gives two kulot to the guy, obviously. These are not kulot for the women. The woman's stuck. The other kula is that that he doesn't have to do it if they're asking for more than her value. Now, let's say her value is 500 zoos. Okay? And they're asking for 10 times the value, right? They're asking for 5,000. So number one, he's putcher because he doesn't have to pay 5,000, right? But number two, he's putcher. Even if they ask only for 500, he's still putcher because his ketubah is only, let's say, 300 zoos altogether. Right? Okay? Or her ketubah. Right? So therefore, in both those cases, he'd be patur. He wouldn't have to be poden. Now, what would he do? He would transfer her the money of the ketubah and hope that she can get money from other places to get the rest of the money. And the ketubah money does go to that. But if it's not enough to cover it, he's not chayav to supply the rest.
And then he's never responsible for paying her ketubah later?
If he paid it here, that's her money. Yeah, I think that would be it, I'm guessing. If he dumps the funds then that would be it. Right. Okay. Lakta chayav lerapota. If she gets sick, right, he has to pay the medical bills. Tana Rabbanan, al manan yizonet minichse yitomim, v'tzrichim v'tzricha refuah. I didn't read it right. Let's start again. Tana Rabbanan. Almanan nizonet minichse yatomim. This is what we said before, that if she doesn't demand her ketubah money right away, she gets mizono from the nechasim of the yatomim. Utsricha refuah harehi kemizonot. The need for medical bills is like mizono. Why is that? We all know. The medical bills are, you pay one time and you're done, but it's an ongoing cost, and therefore it's parallel to mizonot, and therefore they treat it like that, that she can get refuah, she can keep asking for money for the bills. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, refuah sheyesh la kitzba, nitrapet miktubata. She'en la kitzba, harehi kemizonot. Okay, this is a really good, right? What happens? If it's a doctor's bill, that it's going to be a one-time thing, right? Sometimes you go to a doctor, you pay for surgery, let's say, and you're done for the most part, right? You've paid your whole thing. If it's a one-time cost, then it's treated like the ketubah money. It's a one-time sum that she's asking. And therefore, that comes out of the account that's paying her the ketubah money. And therefore, her ketubah now, let's say she needs 100 zuz, her ketubah is now worth 100 zuz less because she takes the money out of there. But if it's an ongoing expense, then it doesn't come out of that 200 zuz of ketubah money. It gets paid from the nechasim of the yatomim. Every time she gets a bill, they pay the bill, because then it's more like a mizonot. So it depends what type of bill we're talking about, what kind of medical bills we mean. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, here we have an interesting thing. Asu hakazat dam be'eretz Yisrael kirefuah she'en la kitzba. When it came to, in Eretz Yisrael, we talked about this bloodletting. Bloodletting was a thing they did, and in Eretz Yisrael, they did it regularly. Okay, they did it every few, they would do it like three times a year, the Mefarshim say. It was like a thing that, you know, you go to the doctor, right, you go for a regular checkup, and they would do a kazat dam. They thought it was like a health thing. It would prevent you from getting diseases, maybe. So in Eretz Yisrael, where that's the way they treated hakazat dam, so if you had an expense of hakazat dam, that would be a mizonot expense. And you would get it out of the funds from the yatomim and not from your ketubah money. But as opposed to in a different place, that wouldn't be the situation, because they don't treat hakazat dam like that. Hakazat dam would be, if you have a problem, you go one time, they're makiz dam, and then you're done. Maybe you'll have to do it again at some point, but it's treated as a one-time cost and therefore taken out of her ketubah money. Krevi de Rabbi Yochanan, havalehu itet, what's that word? What? Itat? Mm-hmm. I'm confused with what that means. Havale itat abba?
Widow of their father.
Ah, okay. It's like Isha. Okay. Okay. Havalehu itat abba, like itita. Right. The wife of the father. To have a tricha refua kol yoma. Okay. She needed refua every day. Atu the kameja Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lehu, izalu kotsule midi lerofe. The relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, this is a great story. The relatives of Rabbi Yochanan come to him and they say, listen, we have this problem. The almanah of our father, she needs
a mother. It's not necessarily a mother.
Well, it's not their mother, because it might not be their mother. It probably wasn't, because you see, they don't have so much rachmanut for her. Okay? So the wife of the father, who basically has rights to this our money, right, needs a medical thing every day. So they say, they went to Rabbi Yochanan, what does he say? Go tell the doctor to give you a one-time bill, and then you can pay it from her tuba money. And then you don't have to give her money from your inheritance. Okay? Crazy, right? This is Rabbi Yochanan. So then, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asinu atzmenu ke'orchei hadayanim. Then he realizes this was a bad thing. In other words, he says, I can't believe I did that. In other words, I basically, right, just helped my relatives, right, to get out of something. Like, it wasn't so appropriate what I did. So now they say, Mikar my savar, Levasov my savar. What did he think in the beginning and what does he think at the end? Savar, Mikar savar umibsarcha lotit aleim. You have to help your relatives. Okay? Like, emalaso, right? Everyone's there, you know, that's your job. You're supposed to help your relatives. Ulevasov savar adam chashuv shane. It's a great line. While it's true that an individual is supposed to help their relatives and maybe go out on a limb for them and maybe even, you know, at someone's expense, but when, right, that's the crazy part, right? It's one thing to help your relatives, but someone else's expense is a different story. And a woman who needs help, right? Here we're doing it at her expense, which is very difficult. But in the end, he says, I'm an important person. And if I do this, other people are going to take example from me, and I'm setting a very bad precedent. So I have to watch what I do, whereas an individual might be able to function in one way, a leader has to be held to a different standard, which would be nice if all our leaders felt that way. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to get into the
ketubah. I'm biased, you know, I don't see it clearly because I'm involved as a family member. You should never advise a family member. You should always have somebody neutral.
But where do you see that? means you have to help your relatives. And that's explaining what he did in the beginning. And in the end, he says Adam Chashuv is different. So right, it's Dafka, the Adam Chashuv, that makes the distinction here, right?
Well, the English translation says should not even advise a relative, so that's what.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So now the Mishnah says, now we're going to talk about the Ketuba Banim Dichrin, okay? The Banim Scharim, remember what happens? She gets, when they write the Nedunya, right? The father writes the Nedunya, we want to encourage the father to give a lot of property into the marriage. In order to do that, right, we didn't want the fathers to be cheap. We were worried that if the fathers know that if the wife dies, what happens? The husband's going to inherit. When the husband inherits her stuff, what's going to happen? He's going to die eventually. It's going to go to all his yorshim equally. And the assumption is he's got more than one wife. Now, by the way, this is all based on the assumption he's got more than one wife. If you remember, we learned in Yavama, we talked about this, that it wasn't so clear that polygamy was going on. It wasn't so rampant. But yet, these halachot are really written assuming that...
But it's not
the truth is right. It's not only polygamy. You're right. It could be he has children from different wives. The truth is you're right. There's a lot of death of women. So it's very likely he has children from different wives. That's true, even without polygamy. Okay. So now the father's going to say, well, this money is going to end up going, a lot of it, right? It's like any time you put into something where there's a bunch of people, right? You feel like, oh, if this is going to right get split between my children and other people's children, well, the amount is so minimal, right? It's like lo shaveh, because my kids are going to get such a small part of it. That's what the father's going to say. My grandchildren will get such a small part of it, and therefore, I'd rather not give so much money, because in the end, right, I'll give 100, and they'll get 50 of it. So why am I going to give a large amount if they're only going to get part of it? So they stipulated that all the money that was hers, the nedunya, is going to go to her children. Now we're going to see that there's also, it's not just her, the Nedunya, maybe it's also her ketubah money. Remember I said he sets aside the ketubah money. Now generally, what do we say? That she only gets it if he dies first, or he divorces her. If she dies, we assume that the ketubah money, just the 200 zuz disappears, exactly. Right? But now we're going to see that it also goes to her kids. Okay? I think it's, I'm not sure if it's 100% clear cut, but it seems pretty, I think it's clear from here. Okay, let's read the mission. Lo katav labanim dichrin dehavi lichi minayu inu nyartin kesef tupatech yeter al chokehem de imavuhon chayav shehut nai beitin. If you didn't say, the banim scharim that I have from you are going to get your part of the money more than the other brothers, right? My other sons. Anyway, he's chayav to give it to the sons because it's a tanai beitin. This is just another one in the list. If he didn't write it, it's still takef. Binan nukvin dehavi lichi minayu yahavin yatvan bebeite umidzana minichsai ad til kachun leguvern chayav. The banot nekevot, okay, the daughters that you have lichi minayfu, right, that you have from me, yahavin yatvan bebeite will stay in my house umidzan, and they will get parnasa from my nechasim ad til kachun leguvern. Until you remarry somebody else. Okay? Your chayav, shu tanai beitin. Again, the fact that the daughter's got mizonot is a tanai beitin. Ad tehe yatva bebeiti umidzana minichasai kol yamai meger amanutech bebeiti. You will be able to stay in my house and get mizonot, right? Until kol od you're being a widow in my house. Chayav, shu tanai beitin. Again, if he doesn't write this, he's chayav. Kach hayu anshei Yerushalayim kotvim. That's what anshei Yerushalayim would write in their ketubas. Anshei HaGalil hayu kotvim ka'anshei Yerushalayim. Anshei HaGalil also wrote this. Anshei Yehuda hayu kotvim ad shirtzu ha-yorshim liten lach ketubatech. The Yorshim would have, remember I said until now that she has the rights to get mizonot until she basically says, okay, I want my ketubah money. Okay, which is usually before she's going to go marry someone else. But now, what does it say here? In Yehuda, what would they say? The Yorshim have the rights to say, we don't, you know, we can give you your ketubah money and stop giving you mizonot. Lefichach im ratzu yorshim, notnim lach ketubata uputrin otan. Basically, get rid of her. Say goodbye. Nice knowing you. Okay, interesting. Amar Rabbi Yehuda mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Zakkai. Mipnei ma'itz kinu ketubah benin dichrin, kedei sheikpot adam v'yichtov, right? So the libito kibino. We want him to write the money to the son, to the daughter, so that he'll give her a bigger nedunya. Umi ika midi de rachmana amar bira li rot barta lo tirot va'ata rabbanan umitakne de tirot barta. So now they're asking, could it be, this basically goes against the Torah. Why? Because really, that money now goes to the father. In which case, that money of the father should go to all his sons equally. There's Dinei Yerusha from the Torah. Dinei Yerusha from the Torah says you're deserving of this, right? So now the Rabbanan are saying something against the Dinei Yerusha of the Torah because the daughters are now going to get it. So what are they saying? No, ha nami do raitu dechtiv k'chu nashim beholidu banim ubanot u'k'chu lebnechem nashim be'benotechem t'tnu la'anashim. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So bishlama banim biyadei kaima ela binte mi kaima biyadei hakamash malan denil b'sha v'nichsiye v'netiv le'midi kehechi dekafze Allah. In other words, he has a responsibility to dress his daughters in order that people will marry them. So therefore, you can therefore say that he's chayav to give the money also to the daughters. And one second. I'm missing one point here. That right. The question is that also, in other words, first they're asking how could the Rabbana make something against this, right? To encourage him to give a bigger nedunya. But then they're saying the nedunya itself is a mitzvah doraita. Because from this pasuk, chunashim bolidu banim ubanot, right? They say, and k'chu lebinechem nashim vebinotechem tnu la'anashim. In other words, they're saying what's clear from here, from this pasuk? We understand that banim k'chu lebinechem nashim, right? You have the power to do that. Because the main, right, this is all based on that what? The man goes after the woman, right? So the k'chul b'nechem nashim is in your things. But binte mikayma biyade, it's not in his hands to marry off, right, b'notav. He can't really marry them off because he can't say, oh, I want to pursue for my daughter this man, because the man has to agree to it, right? The boy's family has to agree to the marriage. It's usually the boy who initiates. This is a little sort of against the arranged marriage thing, because the arranged marriage thing, you could try to arrange marriages. But anyway, they're saying that this pasuk shows you that the father has to make the daughter look good so that people will want to marry her. Okay? And therefore, what do you see here? In the end, you see that there's a mitzvah d'oraita. It's weird that it's d'oraita. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. But they're saying that's also a mitzvah of the Torah to give her a big nedunya. And therefore, the chiv of giving her a big nedunya overrides this Yerusha of the sons, that all his sons should be Yoresh, right, because of the nedunya. And that overrides that. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow.